Lord, it's true, we do need you every hour, every minute, Lord. We're so thankful for your word that you've given us, Lord, to show us where to go, to direct our path. So we pray for this time now that we get to spend in your word, learning more about you. Go before us. May you give us ears to hear what your spirit would say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brooke. Yay. My sweetie. I love my kids so much. She just makes me cry.
Come here. Bring it in.
Oh. 18 hours, that's what I'm gonna tell you. That's how many hours of labor. That's actually what makes me cry. No, just kidding. I'm so joking. No, Brooke, and I've shared this story with some, but not all. And I wanted to thank you for coming again. I'm just so blessed that you're all here. But, you know, I could not figure out the concept of what it was like that was happening inside my person when I was pregnant. I was like, there's an alien in there. I'm pretty sure there is an actual alien, like something's happening. Cause you know, you go through, you're like 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, four or five. And then all of a sudden you're like, it's official. There, it's like the movie Alien is happening in here. And you know, Brooke was my first pregnancy and all of that. And so I remember I was about, I was like 9 and a day months old and I was working and I had a job where I was up, but I also was at the phones and things like that. And so, and I had interaction with the public because I worked for the Chamber of Commerce and it was all set up. I was going to work. And then this was, okay, so no kids. So I'm like, free as a bird, you know, Brett's working, he's got youth group, whatever. So I'm basically in charge of my own, you know, calendar. And I had the plan. I was gonna work, I was gonna go home, change, and then I was going to this event. It was a social event for the Chamber of Commerce. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden there was a dink, and it's like Brooke did like a flip. And I went, and I actually like popped out a rib. And I had to go to the chiropractor, which anyone that's gone when you're 9 months pregnant, that's an experience. Yep. Okay, so I was like, but I went from not being able to breathe to then being able to breathe. And that was like prep for, okay, get ready, because there's going to be a bunch of things that are going to happen that are out of your control, schedules that are not going to be exactly how you think it should be, and all of that. And so that was like, but thankfully, oh, got the adjustment, felt better, went to the event, like there was nothing wrong, no big deal, whatever, big whoop, you know. And then I went into to labor because, okay, this is funny, you guys, and you all, because you have your phones, this will not happen to you. But see, to me, this is one of those Lucille Ball moments in my life. Okay, so I actually even have like a little magnet that's Lucille Ball when she's doing vitamin to vegetable. And it's because of the mistakes that Lucille Ball would inherently make. So I was put on bed rest because I had a little issue of retaining water. And they were concerned, you know, because that can get toxic and it can get dangerous. So I was like, great. I mean, it was end of June. She was born on July 5th. And so I was like, perfect. Down in Southern Oregon, the sun is just heating up. And I was like, awesome. I will just go out there. Better yet, in a bikini. So I was out there just enjoying myself. Felt a little tingling in my feet. Big whoop, doesn't matter. Okay, whatever, whatever. Wow, I'm getting a good tan though. So I go and I check in with the doctor and I think it was like an 8 pound gain in a week. And the doctor, who was not my normal OBGYN, freaked out because he didn't know like my system and how I work and everything. And he was like, get home. Go, like, you're basically, everyone's gonna die. That was kind of his response. And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened here? And he said, what have you been doing? What's going on with your system? What have you been doing? And I said, I literally have not been doing anything. He's like, no, you've been doing something. And I said, well, I mean, I may have laid out in the sun. He goes, oh, do you not know you're not supposed to lay out in the sun? And I said, no, no one told me you're not supposed to lay out in the sun when you're pregnant. And he said, of course you're not supposed to. And he had all the in there too, of course. And he said, of course you're not supposed to. the sun, your body, you retain water. That's the exact opposite that you're supposed to do. Don't ever do that again. Go home, put your feet up. So then I was officially in relax mode inside, putting my feet up, having the couch experience. I think I had 3 days of that. And then Brooke was born and it was success, baby, great. And then, woo, lost tons of water in 2 days. It was like amazing. And never, I wish we could all have water retention issues and then have that happen, whatever happens when you have a baby, because we would never have to go on water retention pills ever, because it was out, like it was, okay, bye. Your body is like not gonna do that anymore. And I felt so good. But with Brooke, when she was born, see, I thought this alien was gonna be born. And what happened was, is she was born and the Lord put love in my heart in a way that I could never have imagined. I mean, never. And I instantly just felt like completely overrun by not fear, not anything other than just pure love. And I felt so equipped by the Lord that he gave me what I needed to be able to take care of this child in a way that I tried to figure it out. I was kind of pre-looking, reading the what to expect when you're expecting and all of that. I have no idea if those books are even legit anymore, because I'm sure that the updated edits probably include, you know, like things we don't want to talk about. And so we're not going to. We'll spare you. But, you know, I just had no idea. And the Lord is so able to equip us when we need it. So that is why Brooke is called Refreshing Source of Joy. That's her name, Brooke Abigail, Refreshing Source of Joy. And boy, has she been that. She was like that from the moment she was born. And then she continues to be that to so many as she does worship and serves at the church and is just such a good, loyal friend, such a great human being. I just love her so much. I love you. So that's why I cry, but they're tears of joy, because the Lord so over and above what I could ever ask or think, he so literally delivered, no pun intended, but he literally delivered with Brooke that it just brings joy to my heart so much. So that's my little labor story for you. I could go into more details, but we will not. So I wanted to share with you a little bit about how we got where we're going to be today. So in praying for you all and talking with some of the Titus 2 moms and just considering what the Lord would have, I had everything all ready to go last night. I had zillions of scriptures. I had all the slides turned in. I had so many things done, ready to go. Sound familiar? Kind of like my original story with my rib getting hacked out. So I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, this is interesting. I think I'm being rerouted. How many people are rerouted in life? How many people are you? How many people? Yep. So then just to verify the information, because I was like, wow, this could be me being a nut job. I better like verify. So I called Judith Slaughter. And I said, Judy, hello. I could be going crazy, but I think I'm A, B, and C, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. And you know what was so great, you guys? I got a lesson from a Titus 2 mom, Judy. And the lesson was, how did the Lord show you that? And you know what was great is I had an answer. So do you remember a couple of weeks ago, that was one of the things on one of the slides, one of the information, be prepared with an answer for your kids, right? And I feel like so thankful that the Lord prepared me with an answer already. I didn't have to go look for an answer. I had an answer when I spoke with Judy. And that was so great. It was so great. And when I told her like basically how it got pieced together, she said, oh, I love when the Lord gives us surprises like that. And I do too, you know. Holding Brooke in my arms for the first time, the wash of love that came over me, that was a surprise from the Lord. And it was such a good, amazing surprise. It was so amazing. In preparing for you all, my original intention was for this evening to be directly focused on marriage. And I still believe that that is the case, but in a different way. And also allowing for us to be able to complete the Mom Time series next week with some of the things, not all, probably, maybe not even any, because I'm going to be open to what God would show us, right? But I think for tonight, based on the information that we have, everything that's being thrown at us, in culture and whatnot, the tendency is for us sometimes to be able to come to the Lord with our checklist, right? And I think the reality is that we need to allow the Lord to really blast through us just with the water of the word to cleanse us. That's his promise. That's his gift to us. If you've ever been to like an ocean town, or if you've ever been anywhere that's even close to where it's salty seawater, you can see cars and houses that have literally been, quote unquote, damaged, right? But there's a beauty in that patina, right, that takes place, not necessarily for the car owners. I mean, let's be serious. You have to replace the car. But if we're gonna take that parallel and put ourselves in that place, what does God do for us? He washes us with the water of the word. And that means things are gonna come off sometimes. You know, and eventually we get new bodies in heaven, and that's beautiful too. That's amazing. And like Brooke's so beautifully saying, you know, it's we in exchange for death, we get life because of what Christ did. So that's the beauty of letting the Lord wash through us. So I'm gonna take a seat here, because what I feel like the Lord asked me to do for us tonight is we're gonna spend some time in God's word, and we're gonna soak it in. So when you have your journals out, anytime, this is just gonna be my prompt to you, because we're gonna not have technology tonight. We have some slides up and stuff, but like we're not gonna be focused so much on that. This is essentially your time to focus on your walk with the Lord, things that he wants you to put down and write down and pray about, scriptures that might stand out to you, things that you might go, huh, I'm gonna circle that, I'm gonna put down that verse, and I'm gonna go back to this later. I really want you to be able to do that, because it's gonna take me about 20 minutes to read what I'm gonna read to you, but we'll have a few breaks. I've allowed some time for that commentary to be in there, not too much though, because I really want this evening to be about you and the Lord, and you really listening to what God would say. And then again, those prompts that he would give you for what you need to write down. That's part of the reason why we wanted to have the journal experience, is so that you could take time like this. And so often we have distractions, and we have things that just, oh my goodness, get in the way, and things just, you know, interrupt our time. So tonight we've built it in so that you can have time to just hear what God would say to you, hear what the Spirit would say to you. So open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. In getting ready to talk to you all about marriage, one of the things I was gonna do was go to the marriage chapter. And that's Ephesians 5 and Matthew 19 and Genesis chapter 1. And, you know, those are homework. I would say, hey, make those be homework for you this week. Because you do wanna have context to marriage as we go into it next week. But as I was preparing, I was looking at chapter 5 and I thought, well, here's the thing. We have to have context in this. And so it ends up being that really the book of Ephesians, which is such a great book, it's such a great book. We're gonna find out just how great in a minute. But it's broken up into a couple of sections. If you were gonna say, hey, chapter 1-3, that's just your overall awesomeness. Thank you, Paul. Okay, then you get to chapter 4, 5, and 6, and it starts talking a little bit more about the giftings, and it talks about the family and society and how we should actually act in the workplace, and then the armor of God. So without it being too overwhelming though, what I love about the idea of us actually going through and reading this is that sometimes you can focus only on chapter 6. Oh, gotta put on the armor of God. And we forget about chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 leading up to it. And like I said, it doesn't take very long, and I really pray, in fact, let's pray, that it will minister to your soul. Dear Lord, I just pray you'd give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see the words, and we pray that you would minister to our hearts and our minds now, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm gonna be reading out of the Christian Standard Version. So this is the She Reads Truth Bible that I told you guys about earlier when we started off the series, and we have them in the bookstore if it's something that you're interested in. But if it throws you off a little bit, that's why. I love the way it reads. So let's just start with the greeting. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, To the faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. To be holy and blameless, you put yourself in that scripture, in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you also believed, were sealed in him with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Let's just take a stop right there. If there's anything in there that you think you need to dig into and find out more about, please write it down. I mean, to me, I spend that time and I say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I am blameless because of your love. You have caused me. You have predestined me. God, I thank you that you have predestined A, B, C, and D, fill in the blank of the concerns in your family. Salvation for those that you don't know if they're going to be saved. Those you can set to the side as far as being concerns that you have. Because the truth is, in God's word, he is our inheritance, he has predestined, and we can trust God with that and let our concerns pass us by. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 15, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Let's pause there for a minute. Have you wondered about what you are created for? You know, outside of this time that we're sharing together, it's easy for us to get stumbled up by the enemy and to have doubt. Very, very easy. But the Bible here says that we were created for good works in Christ. That's your strength. You know, there's an old saying that says, play to your strong suit. And that comes from self-reliance and thoughts that can maybe cause you to stumble. Because you might even say, I don't have any strong suits. And by yourself, you would be right. Because the Apostle Paul says, backing up just a little bit, in verse 3, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires. But that's not you anymore. That's not me anymore. And for your children who believe, and your husband, if he's a believer, that's not him anymore either. You see, we were created, we're his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. The past few weeks, we have considered the cost of discipleship. Truly, the cost is obedience. And we know that good works should be a part of our faith. In the book of James, it says, faith without works, it's dead. But what's so beautiful about the book of Ephesians is that we can safely dwell with our heart and our mind set fast in Christ, knowing he has already prepared the good works for you to do. So then that just leaves us with the option to live, to choose life in our day, to bring God into our day. He will bring about the good works. And that's a blessing. That's a confidence that you can have. Every day that we're alive is a blessing. It's a gift. And every day that we have an opportunity to serve God, it's a gift. But we don't have to get hung up and tossed to and fro. We can rest. Verse 11, so then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those, called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. Remember that Paul was Jewish, so he's talking to a Gentile people. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. Can you underline that? Because that's the symbol of marriage. The two that should not be one, becoming one and having peace. Christ gives us peace. Verse 16, he did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the Christ cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. You know, again, just preparing for this night and the blessing that comes from God's picture of what marriage is supposed to be. Originally designed as male, female. One man, one woman. To be unified, made one. Anybody that studies biology and mechanics knows that that was a divine design. But we have imposters in our society right now. Almost virtually, and I pray that you will get this as mothers, as these arguments, as these concerns are floating down from the shelf of college, whatever it is, and then it goes down into K through 12, and then you have a little one that might come to you with this thought, you have to ask yourself, what does God's word actually say about this? And call out the imposters. Oh, imposter, imposter, imposter. That's an imposter. Teach your kids to understand the difference between truth and a lie, the difference between what is fake and what's real. And in order to teach them that, you're going to have to be on your game and know that. Because the narrative is all around, just dancing around the Bible. The first narrative is to dismiss the fact that we were created. And we have talked about that, even in these sessions, how important it is to know that God looked, and you tell your kids this, God looked at all he had made and said, it is very good. It is very good. He delights in his creation, but it's his creation. And we have to stand on that, just knowing, oh my goodness, the things that the world would want to try to falsify. We just have to take it out one by one. And marriage is the very first thing that's under attack. We can see that God has a plan of making the two become one. And we see it in the church, big C, and we see it in God's word as Paul is trying to help everyone recognize that, wow, this is something new. This whole thing with church is going to be something new. Because the Jews, remember, they didn't talk to the Gentile people at all. It was like, no, we will never talk to you. You are not a part of us. You never can be a part of us. But Paul, who was top Jew, okay, top dog, okay, he was the top, studying to be the head dude of all of them, he gets so radically saved. He's so equipped to be able to talk to everyone and understand, wow, this is what's happening. This is actually what's happening. God's doing something new. He's taking this group and he's making one thing out of it. And may I encourage you with that kind of ferociousness? He's writing from jail when he's in this place. He's ministering to these people, trying to help them understand, you were over here and these guys were over here and now we're this. That's how much we have to, in our minds, continually fight for our marriage, the unity that we have between the husband and wife. We must fight for it. It is no longer two things. It is one thing. And when you know something is one thing, it will not be allowed to be busted apart. That's the seriousness that we have to look at each one of our marriages. Because God honors and loves and created marriage. It's so important. It's not just a contract. It's not just a civil law. It is God's actual ordinance, and it's divine. And the enemy's messing with it, and you need to know that. So moving on to chapter 3, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, you have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave to me for you? The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body and partners in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And as we've learned from Brett, all in the Greek means yes. This is to all generations. Chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way unto him who is the head, Christ. For him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Oh, how I could go on and on about, this is a biology moment right here. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament. Paul is using the example of our human body. Again, look at all the deceit that's out there in culture right now, trying to say that our bodies are not perfectly designed the way they are in their original form. And here we have the original document that we are to look at, the Word of God. That's our guide. We don't let that out there shape us. We let this shape us. And then we live. And we have Paul saying, we are knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. All of our parts are important. There is no mistake with God. Psalm 139 it up. Write that down and study that this week. You have been knit together by the Lord. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have absolute permission and authority as believers to share that with your kids. God does not make mistakes. Verse 17, therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. Can we cap that right there for a minute? Have you noticed a couple times so far, Paul talks about the deceitfulness of philosophy, and now we're gonna get into the thought and patterns as we talk about teener flapping our thoughts. We're about to address it right now in God's word. Verse 17 again, therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with the desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, underline that, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, verse 25, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, chapter 5, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. I love how the word tells us what to do. If you go through the Ten Commandments, yeah, there's the thou shalt nots, but there's a whole bunch of thou shalts. And I love that in the New Testament, the same is also true. Yes, we are not to do certain things, but boy, we sure are told, give thanks. And it is so funny how science does follow the Bible. If we just believe in faith, we know it's gonna work out. But you know, we see confirmation all the time on the brain activity and the positive effect of thankfulness. But oh, those copycats. How many times do you see the word gratitude and not with the scripture attached? Just gratitude, okay. Love is love, same-o. It's all in the same bucket. Just throw it all in the trash bucket because it doesn't mean a thing without the strength of Jesus. It is the cross that allows us to give thanks because we're saved, because we can have a new mind because of all of the things we have previously read and what we're gonna read. There's so much that we can do that is within our control, and it starts with God's word. And because of that, all of the things that are outside of our control, we can still give thanks for. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Verse 5, for no one recognizes this. Every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Boy, I was looking that up. That's another one of those lists, you know. Whew, there's a bunch of those lists. We really should keep track of those lists, because it has a lot to do with what we see in society right now. If you just look up the word idolatry, just in the Webster's Dictionary or whatever, and some of you have maybe by now downloaded the Blue Letter Bible, and you can see that you can tap on a word and then go over and you can tap on the interlinear concordance and look up the actual sentence structure and some of the things that are in the Greek and whatnot. Well, when you get to idolatry, it's huge. you can't read that definition and not think, oh my goodness, our whole country and actually the world is 100% guilty of this. Because attached to idolatry is not just putting someone kind of on a pedestal, but it literally talks about really idolizing a human, and there's money attached to it. Placing the place of money and valuing that and that person higher than anything else is idolatry. Only God is to have that spot in our life. Only God. Only God. And thank the Lord, write down the Ten Commandments, review them this week, review the Ten Commandments, because we need to be practicing, teaching, telling your kids about God's law, because we're instructed to keep it. Will we fail? Yes, we will fail, and we have provision for that. Thank the Lord in the cross. But just because we have provision doesn't mean we are never to try, and we've talked about that previously in our sessions. But just so you know, okay, if we have to have a happy chat or have to have a reset this week, you know, I would start with the Ten Commandments and actually go through the list of the Ten Commandments and actually say to yourself, I think maybe we need to talk about coveting, for instance. What does that look like? That's on the big list of things that people who will not inherit the kingdom of God, if you're practicing that. Oh my goodness, have we been coveting as a family? Have we been throwing around idolatry a little bit too much and elevating human beings beyond the place where they should be elevated? Have we given anything, anyone, any place that's higher than God? Oh my goodness, if you have, if I have, we need to repent. That's what confession is for. We confess, we talked about last week, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. But we should confess. And it's good for you to talk to your kids about that. It's good for you to sit down and say, wow, mommy or mommy and daddy, I have to tell you that I have really missed the mark on this. And I'm so thankful that Jesus loves me and he loves you and he cares about the direction of our family. And we're going to take this in a different direction now because we've been redirected by God's word. That's the beauty of Scripture. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, just gently taking away those things that don't need to be there anymore and fully relying on God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. Wow, let's just stop right there. I will 100% confess to you right now that I can be very obstinate. I can be very, very stubborn. And those two things have lent itself to much conflict in my life. So I will confess that to you. And that is something I know that I need to work on. And maybe you also can identify with that. Oh, I don't know. Get in a fight much with your husband? Maybe, maybe not. You know, our flesh comes out. That's the thing about Romans 12, right? When you read that and it says, okay, we are to offer ourselves to God. You think, oh goodness, a living sacrifice? Like I'm still alive. How am I supposed to climb up there and like kill myself? You're not. It is a daily thing. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Just whoop. How many times? I think last week I talked to you about, which I'm still waiting for the invention, you know, the mouth filter, right? The mouth filter. Can we just have a mouth filter, please? It would really hold a whole bunch of this, like it would take care of things. But we don't have an actual mouth filter. Well, we had a mask, but you know. We don't have an actual mouth filter that helps, you know, sift through our brain. But boy, I wish we did sometimes. But we're growing. We're growing. We're growing in the Lord. We're getting stronger. And we're going to make it. We'll make it to the finish line because we put faith in Christ. So that's good. And we have the peace of God. Very good. So that when those storms come, whoo, you can ride it out and make sure you're going to get yourself safely docked. We will. We will. Sometimes it's a little bit more turbulent, but we'll make it. Sometimes I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm like this. And then the Lord tells me, I know that you're like this. I made you. And then I might tell the Lord, but I know that I don't reflect you the way that I want to. And the Lord says, I know, but I made you and I'm not done. I am not done working out my will in your life. And praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. I can't tell you how many times with all of my kids, including Kenzie, how many times that I have thought, oh my goodness, wow. There's certain things that if it would have been this way or this way, the outcome would have been so different, you know. I appreciate so much all of the background in my family background, which is pretty choppy. But I appreciate it because that stubbornness and that obstinance that is naturally within my DNA, it is that stubbornness and that obstinance, like I explained last week when I got that phone call from my dad saying, are you ready to peace out now with God, essentially? Are you gonna give up your faith now? It was that stubbornness and that obstinance that said, absolutely not. It is that stubbornness and that obstinance that does stand up to the culture that we live in today and says, absolutely not. We have to have a spine. So I do not apologize for the stubbornness and the obstinance when it's placed correctly. When it's misplaced, I have to apologize. Let's read on. So these empty arguments, verse 7, therefore do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Pay careful attention then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He, Jesus, is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. We will address this much more next week, but chew on this and ruminate on this coming week. I am actually personally very excited for the things God is going to show you, things maybe you need to give up, things maybe you need to petition God for. Let your needs be known to him. He is going to help you. If you cry out to God, he hears. He promises to hear us. He promises that. So let him know your concerns. Let him know the concerns that you have, the anxieties that you feel. Cast that upon him. He cares for you. He cares for you. And he cares for me. He cares about all the details of our life. And it's not like he doesn't already know, but he wants to hear from you so much. I'm excited about this next week and the things that you're going to spend time in the Word and things that you'll write down in your journal, things that you're going to remember, maybe some of the cards that you have. Maybe there's going to be something that you're going to want to especially turn around and really ruminate on this week. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. If your kids ask you why they have to obey, will you please memorize this scripture? Ephesians 6, verse 1. Mom, why do I have to do what you say? Because it's right. Because it's right. And then go to the next verse that says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Commandment number 5. So that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. That is a chunk right there of scripture for you to circle, 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 circle. Highlight, highlight, highlight. Put it up, put it up, put it up. You need to instruct your kids that this is the order. It's based on God's word, and it's not the other way around. Again, counterfeit of what society's saying. Parental rights are getting undermined. Children's rights are, you know, matter more. In Oregon, we have all these crazy laws. Crazy laws that are just insane that you can't even believe what kids are allowed to do at such young ages when their minds are not even developed. They can permanently castrate themselves or become sterile and not even tell you. That's the fact. That's the truth. And I feel very compelled to make sure you're aware of that so that you build up your relationship with your kids so much. May it never be that if you did have a little girl that came to you and said, Mommy, I messed up and I'm pregnant. May it never be said that you would say, okay, let's look in Google and find the first place that can do the abortion. May that never be said of us. Never. Because mistakes do happen. And the worst thing that we can do as parents is to create an environment where someone feels so ashamed to come and talk to you that they end up doing something actually completely debilitating or extremely destructive. And all because they thought you wouldn't be able to handle that information. You need to do miles and miles and miles of work talking with the Lord, praying to the Lord, praying for your kids, talking with your husband, praying with your husband, communicating so that you're on the same page, what the actual plan is, what the learning plan, the education plan, the behavioral plan for your home, what that looks like. It should end up being that you will be able to have a very good relationship with your kids, that they will know, I can come and talk to my mom and dad about anything, anything. Even if it's something that might be in the disobedience category, I can talk to my mom and dad about that stuff because we have a relationship that I know there's a standard. I know that there's a standard and I know it's good. I'm kind of messed up right now, but I know I can come to my mom and dad. We have to create that kind of environment for our children. We have to. Your choice is you either don't let that happen or you let the world dictate what will happen. It's just those two things. And what we've talked about in the previous weeks is just the blessedness of being a Christian and how amazing it is that God has given you the children that are in your life. And for you to know that you have the authority as a believer to walk in that. And then you have it again tonight. And if you have not made that very clear with your kids, go home tonight and pray about how you're going to make it clear. If they're awake tonight, you might have to have a talk tonight. If they're already asleep by the time you get home, you may need to be kind of rewriting your plan of what your day is going to look like tomorrow. And you might need to have your first big old happy chat and talk to your kids and say, you guys, you're actually supposed to be obeying mom and dad. I didn't realize how serious it was. But there's a whole plan in place that I haven't meant to, but I've been undermining my faith in the Lord. And I want you guys, and I'm saying if they're three or four, they'll understand this. I want you guys to have your faith in Jesus so strong that you know that no matter what, you can walk with him. And mommy hasn't been living in a way that really looks like that to you, and I'm sorry. And part of what I need to do, you guys, I need to have faith in God that he can work in you to obey mom and dad. So here's the rules. Here's the structure. And go over the Ten Commandments with your kids. It will make sense to them. It will make sense to them. You might be even surprised to watch them feel relief because kids actually do thrive when they sense order. They thrive when they see that there's boundaries. They thrive. They thrive. I'm excited for that to be a part of your home where there's order and where you can actually have an expectation that at the end of the day, you won't feel like packing up your suitcase and taking off. You can structure and make order in your home. That's within your ability to do that. You can do that. So go home and write out your plans. Write out those plans. Allow the Holy Spirit who dwells in you to dictate what that is. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude, as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. What an excellent guide that is for the workplace. For those of you who are small business owners, or you're working in a corporation, or you're working for someone, and maybe you feel like the underling, or maybe your husband feels like the underling, or whatever the situation is, this is a divine order. God has it set so that we can understand, wow, even if you have just a wacko for a boss, you are to work as unto the Lord and not unto that person. And if you're an owner, or if you're a director, or if you're a CEO or something like that, how good it is that God has shown you enough favor to let you see, wow, there's an order to how I actually need to treat people. And the thing is, I'm motivated because God's watching. And he is a rewarder. It is God who is a rewarder. That just evens the playing field for everyone. And it's so good. And then the next order of business is the Christian warfare. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. This applies to the mom, to the dad, to the wife or husband, to the children, to the worker, to the boss. It all gets wrapped up here. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me so that you may be informed. I'm sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are our God. I thank you for the sacrifice that you did for us, Lord, on the cross in redeeming us. Thank you for this amazing plan, God, that you provided for us, knowing in our state of fallenness, Lord, that we had to be redeemed because you loved us. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the bigger concepts like predestination and forgiveness and God's armor. I thank you for these large concepts that we can digest and then verbalize to our kids so that they can understand you and your nature. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your provision and your forgiveness, Lord. Be with each lady here, Lord. Be with each one. As they go home, make their home be just a sweet aroma, Lord. I thank you so much for the families that are represented here, and I pray blessing on them. I pray for the children, Lord, in this church, that you would spare them, that you would provide for them, that you, in their faith, they would just grow so mightily, that they would be so strong in you, Lord. And I pray if there are any that are wayward, Lord, that you would bring them back to you. We just ask for that, Lord, for your special touch and your guidance. I pray for the women out there that are watching, Lord, that are in the watch parties or who have groups of friends and they're gathering, Lord. Give them boldness in their towns and communities and cities, Lord. Like Paul, who said, pray that I might have boldness. Lord, I pray for these women that you would give them boldness to preach your gospel, to stand in truth. And I pray for these women here tonight for the same. And we ask in your name these things, Jesus. Amen.